Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to the Brain Injury Radio Network with shows 7 nights a week. You can find the network at braininjuryradio.com or look up Brain Injury Radio Network on Facebook.
Another Fork in the Road with your host, Donna O'Donnell Fugerski.
Hi, and welcome to the Brain Injury Radio Network on blogtalkradio.com. My name is Donna O'Donnell Fugerski, and I'll be your host on my show, Another Fork in the Road. My show will air every first and third Sunday of every month. Another Fork in the Road is for anyone with a brain injury, anyone who is caring for a brain injured person, or anyone with any interest in learning more about brain injury. On Another Fork in the Road, I want to raise awareness of traumatic brain injury and to help others to understand what survivors and caregivers are experiencing, and to let others know that survivors can accomplish much. On previous shows, I told of my husband David's and my journey through the TBI maze. If you missed those shows, you can always find them in the archives at On Demand at blogtalkradio.com/Brain Injury Radio. Now, I always tell you this is the time of the show that I always remember to say, please have a pencil and paper next to you because I will be passing out some URLs, something that you might want to check into or make notes about that you want to look up later. So please have your pencil ready so you can write them down. So you can also find my shows on my blog. And this is really the easiest place to find all the shows that I've done. I should tell you how many. It's been almost 200 or more. I'm not even sure now. And I think when I think I see it every week, and then every week it just goes away. It's just a lot of shows. I've been doing this since 2014. So, yeah, a lot of shows twice a month. So, so you can go to my blog on survivingtraumaticbraininjury.com, and then in the right sidebar, just click on the air under the category section. On subsequent shows, I will interview traumatic brain injury survivors and caregivers delving into their journeys. I want to see how they traverse their world of TBI. Although brain injury is quite prevalent, every brain injury is different. And so it's interesting to hear how some caregivers and survivors travel that path together. So on some shows, I have guests such as therapists and other medical professionals. And on the third Sunday of the month, I usually have a panel with several guests to talk about our topic, whatever it might be. And some of those pertinent topics might be depression or fatigue, anger management, and flooding, just to name a few of them. So I hope that you're going to find my show tonight fun and informative. Both of those have to mix. And I hope that you will visit the shows of the other hosts on the Brain Injury Radio. There are shows every night from 7 p.m. until 10 p.m., and that would be Pacific time. But you can tune in anytime in your time zone, as long as you tune in at 7 o'clock. Seven or after Pacific time. So, yeah, just do the conversion. But Brain Injury airs across the United States in every state and in 36 different countries. Now, that being said, you can listen to this show anywhere in the world by simply going to the archive shows. You won't hear it live at that point, but it will be recorded, and you can listen to it at survivingtraumaticbraininjury.com go look on the air show menu. That's really important, on the air show menu. There are two on the air. The show menu is the one you want because that will give you the links directly to a show. So you can actually see what the topic is or see who the panelists are. And my panelists return often. So there may be a special panelist that you like to hear, want to hear from. So, yeah, go check it out. But not now. Not now. Don't do it now. We're going to start the show now, and then you can do it later, tomorrow, the next day, whenever. All right, so we're going to talk tonight about, let me just pull up my notes so I have them here. We're going to talk about what survivors and caregivers want to hear and what they don't want to hear. And believe me, folks, there are some things that they don't want to hear. And I have a guest tonight who's going to help us through that, and we're going to discuss what that kind of stuff is. But first, I have to find my notes on my thing. I've got so many different things up here that I'm working on in between. So what caregivers and survivors do not want to hear? First off, let me just say, survivors of brain injury come in all shapes and sizes. They come in every nationality. They come in every religious preference. They come with their own unique thoughts and dreams, don't we all? We all do, yeah. So, and they come with their own challenges. And those challenges are custom made for them just because of the damage inflicted on their brains. So that's what I said earlier. Each brain injury is different. It's like a snowflake or like a fingerprint. No brain injury is alike, none. You know, so because of the way the injury can happen and how many different parts of the brain, lots and lots of them, that can be damaged in, you know, multiple parts at the same time, there's no brain injury that's going to be exactly alike. So everybody is facing a global brain injury, but everyone is unique to him or herself. Each one is unique to him or herself. So, but there are things all brain injury survivors can relate to. And basically, their lives have been turned upside down. You know, if you've ever listened to this show, I've said that a million times because that's exactly what it feels like. You just feel like you're going down the rabbit hole or you're in one of those kaleidoscopes, you know? Have you ever pictured yourself inside one of the tubes of the kaleidoscope and as you turn it, everything falls into different patterns and you'll never get in the same pattern there twice. I'm quite sure of it. Although you'd have to check with mathematicians, I'm not that sure, but I don't think so. So, but there is usually a new normal that you have to adjust to. And the lives of survivors places challenges and hurdles in their paths, which they conquer in an attempt to grasp as much as possible of life to come. And it's not easy. Nope, it's not easy to be a survivor of brain injury. Let's not forget the caregivers. Their lives have flipped too. They're faced with new responsibilities, new challenges. Their dreams may have been dashed as they travel their new unknown winding roads with their loved ones. And not often do people think of the caregiver's life being changed because the focus is on the survivor, and it should be, you know. The survivor is the person who went through the traumatic event of having an injury to a brain. I mean, think about when you break your leg. You're the person that's in pain. You're a person that the nurse is not in pain, and the nurse probably isn't going to feel anything there. Maybe your caregiver might feel the uncomfortableness of you not being able to take out the trash anymore because your leg is broken. But we're talking a whole different aspect here. When your brain is damaged, so many more things are impacted. So tonight I have my guest, Dawn Corbelli, and she's here to help me to talk about this very interesting topic of what brain injury survivors and caregivers do and do not want to hear. So let me just tell you a little bit about Dawn first. She is the author of A Miracle a Day, One Day at a Time, Hope After Traumatic Brain Injury. And you can find her book at all your book cons, all your local book cons. Check on Amazon, check on your local libraries. And you know what? If for some reason they were not astute enough to have it in their catalog or in their library, ask for it because they can get it for you. It's not hard. So yeah, so do that. So Dawn and her daughter Veronica are both survivors of a near fatal car accident. Dawn shared her and her daughter's stories of recovery on Another Fork in the Road on the Brain Injury Radio Network on January 16, 2022. So that is about a year and a half ago. So if you want to rehear Dawn's whole story, I'm going to ask her a little bit about it to bring us up to date if you're a new listener here. But if you want to hear Dawn's whole story, then just go to, you could probably say it now, survivingtraumaticbraininjury.com. All one word, it's all lowercase. In the right sidebar, there's a search box, and type Corbelli, Corbelli. And then you can listen to Dawn's story, because then you can read her story first if you go to Survivors Speak Out, but you can also go to any of the radio shows that Dawn has been a part of. Of course, she's been a part of her own show when she was a complete guest talking about her injury and her survival, but Dawn's also been a panelist on the show, so she's taken part in different aspects of the different topics that we talk about. So you can, once you pull up Dawn's name, you can see whatever you want about her. So I want to say welcome to Dawn, and I'm going to tell you as the audience that this show will be peppered with many comments from friends that I know with a brain injury, maybe from caregivers. But I asked a lot of folks on social media, and both survivors and caregivers, what really bugs them about brain injuries. I mean, they could go on and on and on, I'm sure. But their typical answers were of forgetting, both long-term and short-term memory loss. Lack of independence is a big one. Difficulty with organizational skills, not knowing how to deal with things anymore, or keeping your life in an organized manner, because that becomes very chaotic then. They talk about sleep disorders and the more physical issues such as balance challenges, swallow disorders, ataxia, bladder issues, eye problems. I just happened to list all of those things that I just mentioned are things that my husband David has to deal with. The one resounding problem that bothers most survivors is that their family and friends, the ones that should be their biggest supporters, don't always understand them. Wow, that's heavy, huh? Because you need those people, you need your loved ones, you need your family, you need your friends to be holding you up, supporting you during this time. And this is a time that doesn't just go away. When you have a brain injury, it's a lifetime commitment to healing. Because a brain injury is forever. And so we have to, people, you know, the loved ones, the family, the friends, have to understand a little bit more about brain injury in order to be that caring, loving, supportive person in their loved one's life. So on tonight's show, Dawn, as a survivor and a caregiver, remember I said she was in a near car, a fatal car accident with her daughter? So Dawn is a survivor of brain injury, and she also turned into the caregiver for her daughter who has a brain injury as well. So, and I, as a caregiver of more than 18 years, are going to talk about what bothers us the most. And remember, I said earlier, I surveyed many, many friends on social media to get their input on this topic as well. So Dawn and I are going to address many of the issues that the folks brought up, and we hope that our audience will pick up some pointers on how to understand brain injury. If you get just one helpful hint out of this talk today, I will be so pleased. And I would be really excited if you'd let me know. You could just email me at DonnaO'DonnellFigurski@gmail.com. And I'm going to spell that out for you. It's DonnaO'DonnellFigurski@gmail.com. So yeah, so if you have anything you want to bring to my attention, please do. I'd love to hear from you. So, but first we're going to talk a little bit about undermining and belittling arrive often on our SOGI meeting. So we're going to start with that right after Dawn tells us a little bit about how you ended up in the community of both brain injury survivors and caregivers. Dawn, welcome to the show. And can you just tell us how you even are eligible to be on this show? Believe me, it's not an honor to be eligible to be on this show.
Thank you for having me, Donna. I decided that after it's so hard when you have a brain injury and to be a caregiver, and I decided that we were going to make something good out of something negative, and we decided to try and find any platform that we could start telling our story and educating others about brain injuries. And I had written something on Facebook, and Donna found me. I've been discovered.
That's so funny. I'm a voyeur. I look for everybody so I can find it. You know, when you talked about platform, I need to also hear your stories, you know, because it helps me as a caregiver. And I feel like it's important to get those stories out into the world so that people can identify with survivors or caregivers. You are not alone. When he had his brain injury, I knew nothing about brain injury. I knew nothing. I had heard the word concussion, but never did I understand what a brain injury meant and what it entailed and what it was going to, how it was going to impact their lives. I mean, there was no even radar or margin for me to even identify that. So I felt like I was alone. And I felt like I was inventing the wheel, and I did invent the wheel for a long time, but I found out that I wasn't alone. It took a long time to find that out. David's brain injury was in 2005. I didn't find social media until 2014. That's 9 years. 9 years that I thought I was doing this by myself, except for one other person who I met in the hospital and became very good friends with. So we would sometimes talk about our husbands and the difficulties that they were going through and some of our difficulties too. But pretty much, I felt like I was alone in this brain injury community. Well, no lack of community, I guess I should say. So when I did discover Facebook and start typing in brain injury and TBI and caregivers and all this stuff, oh my gosh, things were popping up like crazy. And in my thirst for all this information, I joined 35 groups. I couldn't keep up with them all. But I joined them, and I tried, and I got a lot of information, and I met a lot of people. I met a lot of friends, people I'll probably never meet in my life, some that I will. But I became close with a lot of people, some people from Greece that I've never met, but I have a very fond feeling for this woman because I know what she's going through. And she's also a I'm going to say Trina is her name, and if she's listening, she'll know who she is. But, she is out there providing a platform for people. And I felt at that time I realized that I wasn't alone, that I needed to do something. I had the skills to do it. I mean, I didn't know how to do a radio show for sure, but that's a long story on how I got involved in that. But it feels like second nature to me now after 9 years of doing this. But when I first was approached to be on the Blog Talk Radio, I had no clue. Anyhow, that's just a little bit of background about how I got involved in this. John, can you tell us about the accident, how you and Veronica both came in to be survivors and you as a survivor caregiver?
Our accident, we had a car accident. We were just driving to the store. That's the story you want me to tell, right? Just about our accident?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. We were just driving to Walmart on a regular trip to Walmart, and we came to a stop sign, and we didn't see anybody coming, and they didn't see us, and we started to go, and there was no skid marks for their car at all, which means they didn't see us. My husband thinks maybe, like, we were going to turn left, and my husband thinks maybe there was an 18-wheeler that was turning right, and maybe the truck that hit us was behind it and just was going fast and didn't see us.
Mm-hmm.
And Veronica got a severe traumatic brain injury, and she was in a coma and on life support for a little over 2 weeks. She was in the hospital for 3 months. I got a moderate traumatic brain injury, and I, you know, it wasn't, Veronica and I have different symptoms. Like, I lost my memory for 7 weeks. She too lost her memory before and after the accident for like 3 months. But I guess I didn't think with a moderate brain injury that I would have lost my memory for so long. And, but I did. And I was in the hospital for 3 weeks. And I wasn't ready to be her caregiver when we got home. I was so confused about everything and tired. I was always, always tired and sleeping because our brain heals while we sleep. So my daughter, actually, I have a 17-year-old daughter, and she's the one that took care of us. Here she just was getting out of high school, and she was going to college, but every spare moment she had, she was with us. She wasn't out with her friends partying. She wasn't doing the normal, I guess, 17- or 18-year-old thing. She was taking care of us. I actually lost my mother role. And it was very hard for me because here my 17-year-old, 18-year-old was telling me what I needed to do and not do. And I got very angry because I'm the rule maker. I'm the mom of the house. It was really hard. She was driving us to appointments and cooking. I wasn't allowed to use the stove because I always left the burners on, the oven on, and I still have a problem with that. But then little by little, I became the caregiver and have been doing that now for about 14 years. I mean, it would be just, our accident was 15 years ago, but I really took over about a year after that. And it was hard because as you were talking about being organized, I'm now very organized, but I have notes all over my microwave and my kitchen counter, and I have a date book, and it doesn't always look as neat as it could because of my notes, but it's how I function. I'm not very productive if I don't have notes everywhere. So my husband always reminds me what I need to do, and he's always asking me the night before. In the morning, he asked me. He always makes sure I know where I'm going. So, yeah, I had to really learn the role of caregiver.
It's a whole new life. I mean, and when you're talking about this, you're also talking about, you know, learning your new life because your life has changed and it has been impacted by so many things when you talk about the organization and the memory and things like that. And then at that point when you took over to help Veronica and oversee her life and her issues that she's dealing with, it really compounds the problem that people don't get.
It was so
get.
Hard.
I mean, they don't get survivors and they certainly don't get caregivers. But that's why we're here, Dawn. This is the reason why we talk about these things so that we can help people who listen into the show understand a little bit. You know, we don't expect you to learn and understand everything because it's complicated. But if you can get some tips or some interesting
ideas.
It takes
years.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the healing takes years. It's a lifetime of healing. But trying to understand all this stuff, too, especially when it isn't affecting you on a daily basis. You know, a caregiver who
right.
is being affected by a survivor on a daily basis can understand a little bit more than maybe the brother or sister that lives, 200 miles away and sees that person only, you know, once every 6 months or something. You know, they're not quite understanding it. Or the people, just the general people out walking down the street, you know, or that meet you in the grocery store. They don't understand what the survivor is going through, especially when they don't look like they have a brain injury. You know, that's another whole can of worms that I wanted to get into too. But I want to go into some of the topics that I asked the people on social media, because I think we picked some really good topics, and I think there's a lot of interesting aspects to them that I think you'll have some good input on. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is, oh, before I say that, I want to say I'll never be able to go to Walmart again, Dawn, without thinking about you. I swear.
Oh, my goodness. I have no problem. My husband wishes I had a little more trouble going to Walmart.
Yeah, I know. But anyhow, I'm sure that's going to be a thought that comes up in my head often now. And and I wanted to say this also to you. When they say you have a moderate TBI, I don't eat, or, you know, they say sometimes call it moderate or mild. I'm sorry. I know doctors label it that way, but I don't think there's anything moderate or mild about a TBI. It drastically changes your life. And so, yeah, you might
you know what?
Be in a coma for the rest
I just
of your life,
did.
But...
I really want to share this, Donna. I just did information. I did a blog about the types of brain injuries, and I didn't even
mm-hmm.
know this. Loss of consciousness, like a concussion, is a mild traumatic brain injury. I didn't know that there wasn't a difference between those two. And a concussion can come with many, many of the same symptoms as a severe traumatic brain injury. The only difference is you were unconscious for less time.
Right. So
there's nothing mild about it.
There is nothing mild about a brain injury. There is nothing moderate about a brain injury. I mean, if that's their criteria, well, you only blacked out for a minute as opposed to 3 weeks, the damage is still there. You know, that's
yes.
how I see it. I don't know. I'm not a medical doctor. I don't profess to be one. And I'm not, you know, this is my own opinion. Let's put it that way. So nobody, don't worry about that, you know. That's not me out on this. It's my opinion. But anyway, so, Dawn, on undermining and belittling, can you tell us a bit about how – oh, no, sorry, I don't want that one. My notes. I'm going to tell you about what some of the people said about that. Sue wrote that it really bothers her when someone says to her, and I'm quoting now, and I will remind everybody that these are friends of mine on Facebook or on social media who I asked these questions of, and they gave me permission to use their first names. So all the first names are true. I'm not sharing the last names, but I do have permission to share their thoughts. So Sue wrote that it really bothers her when someone says to her, and this is where I'm going to quote, "How many times do I have to tell you?" When somebody says that. How many times do I have to tell you? Christy added,
as many as it takes.
As many as it takes, yeah. Added that because she doesn't work, she is often asked in a condescending tone, and now I'm going to quote again, "What do you do all day?"
Oh, I get that. I have gotten that.
I knew these were going to resonate with you. Allison said that her mom often puts her down when she says in a very snarky voice, quote, "You're repeating yourself again." Think about that.
Mm.
How would you feel if someone you cared about, someone you hoped would understand you, said any of those things to you? I know for me, I feel awful, even under normal circumstances, and I don't have the brain injury. But it poke a hole in my armor. it would hurt my self-esteem greatly. Mm-hmm. And those kinds of comments would make me feel of little worth, and I would want to crawl under a rock. So, John, do you really think that anyone gets any pleasure from repeating him or herself? Does anyone think that survivors prefer to not continue in their job? How small do you think a survivor feels when he or she realizes that they aren't able to complete a task? A task that before the brain injury would have been easier. So, John, I know you can relate to some of these situations, if not all. What are your thoughts about that?
Okay, something happened to me this week. I was at the gym, and I go there all the time. I've been doing this one exercise like many times over the last 6 months, and all of a sudden I forgot how to use this one machine. Well, that happens. That happens, you know, with the memory loss. Well, I went up to a manager there, and I asked, I said, I kind of was joking, like, I've done this so many times, but still I forget. I have a brain injury, and it affects my memory. And he looked at me and said, oh, I have a brain injury too. And I got very serious. I said, really? Because I feel bad for people that have brain injuries.
Yeah,
and he said, no. He said, no. And I told him not to joke about that. It's a hard life. And then he comes back and he says, well, I'm really tall and the air is thin up here, so I have a brain injury.
People
are so ignorant. People are so ignorant.
Exactly.
Things like that really make me mad. I don't know why they think it's funny.
Yeah. No, because I'll tell you, Dawn, why. Because they don't understand it. They don't know what it is. You know, they think brain injury, and they just don't know how to respond. And so to him, it wasn't serious, even though you were very serious about what you were saying to him. And, you know, it's sad, but how did you handle that then? I mean, you told him it was serious, and what else? Did he ever seem to understand at all? Did he get any inkling of it?
Absolutely nothing. He got nothing out of it. When he was walking away, I said, it's not a funny joke. Please don't joke about it anymore. And that was it. I mean, he walked away and he went back to doing what he was doing. And it's so funny because Veronica always thought that this man, she always said, oh, he's so handsome and he's really nice. And I told her what happened and she said, he does not look good to me at all anymore.
Yeah. I wonder, Dawn, if you can't go to him again and say, I know he had this problem last time. I really would like you to be, you know, to understand what I'm going through a little bit. Maybe I don't know. That might, you know, in a different situation, in a serious situation where you're trying to inform him, I wonder if that would even, or if it's worth it. But, I mean, it might be worth it.
Donna? I'm actually going to go to a manager higher than him and talk about it. He needs to know that when anybody in the gym has any kind of disability, you don't make a joke out of it. It's not funny.
Yeah.
So I don't even have the patience for him after I told him twice. I'm going above his head.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, at least you're doing something about it, so maybe he can understand at some point. Maybe it'll be a hard lesson to learn, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
So that's why people have to be able to understand these kinds of things because it hurts, these kinds of things. Like when Allison's mom says, you're repeating yourself again. Well, her mom must at this point realize that, yes, she's repeating herself. Do you think she's doing it because she wants to? She doesn't remember that she told her, you know? So, and the mom, I'm thinking, might, you know, should be in a closer proximity to what's going on and understand a little bit more, but who knows, you know? Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow.
I just don't understand how people can think it's funny when somebody is, like, bearing their soul and talking about something that hurts them. I would never do that.
I know. I totally understand that. It makes it even doubly hard. That's why I was saying that if you tried one more time with him, maybe he'd understand. Maybe it would, you know, and knock on his door and let him under, you know, get what you're saying. And then if it doesn't work, then perhaps go above. But give him the benefit of a doubt. I know you said twice that day, but if you go to him in a different way, you know, and just say,
I could actually explain to him. I could explain to him what brain injuries entail in a very serious manner, asking him to please listen to me.
Right.
And tell him why it's not funny.
Right. But if you try to explain it, I've found that that's happened with me sometimes when somebody is a little bit curt, and I'll say, but I don't understand why you're doing that. Can I talk to you about it? Can I explain? You know, and sometimes that opens the door, and that might be more helpful than having
You're more patient than I am.
I know, but it might be a way to look at it. I'm not saying that's what you need to do, but it might be another way to look at it, you know, and it might open that door for him to really understand it and be more gracious about it and be able to, you know, because he is dealing with the people. His boss above him probably isn't dealing with the people. And if he understood it without it being demeaning to him, he might be able to be more effective in getting the message that we need to get out. That's where I'm thinking. So you have to, you know, judge it how you see it fit and see, see what goes. But I'm interested to find out where this story goes. So we have to hear
this
more
is
about
a good,
it.
It's good to have your point of view on this, too, because I am not very patient when people say things like that to me. Or, I'm just not very patient when people do that. I just think to myself, they don't give me the time of day. And then I just am like, well, I'm not going to give it to them, but I'd like your suggestion.
Right. Well, you know, I've been told this quite often, even lately, because I have a friend who is can say things that other people will not take as kindly, you know, and I do let a lot of things slide, and I brought other perspectives to it when she's telling me things, and she's come to me so many times and said, you know, you really helped me with that because you made me look at it in a different light, and that's what I'm hoping that, well, you know, when we're talking here, I'm not talking to make you look at it in a different light, but just to bring it up to anybody listening, that maybe there is, you know, another way to go about that you might be able to reach more people, you know, because if he turns around because he understands what you said, it's going to go a lot farther than if he turns around because he has to, you know. He's not going to have understood.
Right.
That. He's just going to be doing what his boss says. So just some food for thought there. So let's talk about the new normal. Oh, I know. Caregivers, survivors hate that word. I have a friend. I don't know whether you know Bob Millsap, if he's been on a show with you, but he's a friend of mine through the brain injury community, but also a personal friend because he lives in the same town as I live in. And that was totally by accident that we found each other because his wife who has the brain injury and I were published in the same anthology. And so when the editor had a meeting with all of us and asked us where we're all from, I realized that Shelley and Bob lived right there next to me almost, you know. So we started getting together, and that's been many years ago. Bob and I, Bob and I and Shelley and David always get together now. So that's nice. And that's the reason I'm telling you that story is because Shelley hates this term, new normal. She just really does not buy it at all. But survivors and caregivers both really do feel this strange new state because the old life is gone. It's totally changed. And not only for the survivor, but also for the caregiver. And I'm going to talk some more about that in a bit. But let's go back to social media and hear what Beth said. Beth said she hates when folks say to her, "You look normal." And DE said that folks always say, quote, "but you look fine." Both of these survivors feel slighted when folks don't realize the trauma they are suffering and they feel misunderstood. And why do they look normal? Because their brain injury is not outwardly seen. And that happens to so many people. I know so many people, and Shelley's one of them, who you would not know she had a brain injury by looking at her. But by being with her and knowing her, I understand some of the things that she's going through because she has issues with loud noises. She has sound problems and noise problems, and there's a word for that, and it's evading me right now. But, you know, so if there's too much commotion going on, it just causes her head to go haywire. She gets confused and anxious and frustrated, and she's really affected by that. And I know that. I can see it. And I can watch her face and see her change because of a baby crying three tables away in a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
or because of a man speaking too loudly and we can understand his entire conversation across the room. You know, those kinds of things will bother her. So, Don, can you talk about how you as a survivor feel about those kinds of statements like, well, this is your new normal, get used to it?
I'm trying to think. It was so different in the beginning than it is now, because now I'm so accepting of our new lives. But in the beginning, it was really hard to accept. Like, I can tell you that right now, because I try and think back to the beginning, and honestly, it's really a little bit hard for me to remember some things from the beginning.
Yeah.
But right now, I lost my train of thought. Oh, I'm so sorry. Give me one second.
That's okay. How do you feel about the new normal? It's basically what we're talking about here. And it sounds like you feel that you've gotten used to your new life and you're accepting of that new life, so it's hard to respond.
But to tell other people, like, I don't think sometimes my own family, some people in my own family really understand how noise and light affects me, or
mm-hmm.
like movement. I can get so overstimulated, and I can even tell my husband, I really feel like I need to go soon.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a situation like that recently, and I slept almost the whole next day because my brain gets very, very tired in situations like that.
It's working.
And I don't think
hard.
What was that?
It's working extra hard. Just for you to be in
right.
a situation like that and to cope, your brain is really on overdrive, and it works very, very hard to just keep the norm going on in your life there, so that when you finally get to that downtime the next day or whatever, it's exhausted and it can't do anything. And that's a common thing for folks. Anyone that has a big day. Even, for example, Deb.
Right.
I can talk about Deb Landon because she's my co-author on my book. What is the title of it? We're halfway through it. Do I remember the title? No, because we just changed it. So, So anyhow, I'll tell you the title later if I can look it up fast. But anyhow, we're halfway through this book. And Deb, so, you know, I know everything about Deb, or a lot about Deb. She knows a lot about me. And she tells me that when she is, like, she went to a wedding a couple weekends ago, and then she was supposed to meet me on Monday. We have writing meetings on Monday or Thursday every week to work on this book. And she wrote and said, sorry, my brain is on strike. She couldn't do it. And not because she didn't want to, not because she wasn't prepared or ready.
Right.
She was over. Well, the brain, all the interaction that she had done took her out. It just couldn't, she wasn't able to work. And I see that, too, even when we're working on the book. We usually can spend two and a half hours, pretty much in a session. And then all of a sudden I see that she's not as clear as she was before. She's not as organized, or, you know, and I can see it going downhill. And then pretty soon she'll say, I think we have to quit because my brain's not working right. And I said, I know, I can see it. You know, I can see that happening to her. But that's because I'm tuned in, because I know what goes on. I know what goes on with my husband. But most people wouldn't be able to tune in like that. But, yeah, so that's exactly what happened. So people don't get it. They don't see why are you sleeping the next day? You know, why are you sleeping all day? That kind of thing.
Right. I have, like, bad brain days where I will forget my words, or I'll go to try to get something out, and I repeat it over and over, and it's like the beginning of a sentence, and I can't get past the beginning of the sentence. And I'll ask my daughter, Veronica, who is also brain injured, and I'm like, can you see it? And she says, I can see it. And that happens. And I will go and go and go, and I've just recently, like this year, after all these years, I'm learning to pace myself, because I'm the kind of person, like, say I have a couple places to go and I'm running errands that day. That day is when I decided that I'm going to get done whatever I can. And before you know it, I've gone to another two places, and those places, that was too many. And then if the places are overstimulating, I'm down and out sometimes for 2 or 3 days. And honestly, I sit in my bedroom and I don't have the TV on. I just lay in my bed, and it's really funny because you can tell which side of the bedroom is mine and which side is my husband's, because I started spending so much time in my room at one point that I have like this little plant table, and there's all this feminine stuff on one side with the candles and the plants, and because I was spending so much time in here that I was going to make it very comfy for me as a woman. But now I write in my calendar. I actually have to write it in my calendar. And it was my older daughter that suggested it. I write on Tuesdays and Thursdays, like stay home, no appointments.
Okay.
Because what I used to do is I would stay home those days, but I would do all my phone calls. I would do all my, like, studying I would write my blog that day, or I would do something that was using my brain on a day that I was supposed to be resting my brain. And so now I've gotten so much better. But Veronica will want to go to the gym that day, and sometimes I'll just take her and drop her off because the gym is very loud. They always have music. And
of course,
there's a lot of movement in the gym. You can see the machines moving. You can see the people moving the machines, and there will be people talking. And you can hear the metal from the weights clinking and all that together. I've had to actually leave the gym before even getting my workout in because I can't take it. But, I try really hard to pace myself now, and that's my newest normal after all this time.
Oh, okay. See? Yeah. And David has, you know, it's funny because David just really learned that, too. Before, he would work, you know. I mean, his injury is now more than 18 and a half years ago. But he would be on the computer. He'd get up early in the morning. He'd get on the computer, and he'd be working. Like David does all my first reading of all my anything I write. He's my first editor. He's sometimes my last. He does a lot of work there. It's all cognitive. It's a lot of brain power. And he would work, and I could bring him something and say, I just finished this article. Would you read it at 6 o'clock at night? Sometimes at 9 o'clock at night, I give it to him, and he'd do it. You know, but he realized recently that he was not being as effective. If I gave him something at 9 o'clock, now he'll say to me, or 6 o'clock, he'll say, can I do it tomorrow morning? And I always say, of course. You know, sometimes I really want it now, like I need it now. But then I don't even do it till the morning, you know. I realized that, you know, he can't do it at that point. And he will struggle, and he will do it. but in the morning it will be so much easier. And it's funny because this is a good example. I brought in something that I was really excited about. I think it was just a small blog post I had written. I was really excited about it, and I wanted to get it up. And I think I put it up anyway. He said he couldn't do it, or he said it was okay or something. And I was a little hurt, you know. I was like, wait a minute. I thought you liked my stuff, you know. And but this one, it was like there was no real response to it at all. When he read it in the morning, he goes, my God, that was really, really good. So I learned a lesson there. Don't give him something at night if you want a good response, because it's not going to happen, you know. And I have to understand that, too, because it's the pacing. You've got to stop. So, I mean, he'll do his cognitive work, his writing of his email or articles that he's writing or whatever it might be, editing my work. He'll do all of that before 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He said after 1 o'clock, he does sometimes continue, but it takes him longer. And it's harder, but, you know, he says, and then he'll just go and do other things, like he does the laundry or he does the dishwasher or something like that, whatever. You know, different things around the house that he'll do that he can do because it's not taking cognitive brain power. It's not taking the thinking power. So he's just
afternoons are hard for me. Afternoons,
yeah,
like, I need a nap. Almost, you know, they say you work out and you're going to get so much energy. It takes a lot out of me, and I think that's different than people that don't have brain injuries. It's supposed to give you energy. What are you talking about? I have to go home and take a two-hour nap.
Right, because your brain was on overdrive working hard just to follow those, putting one foot in front of the other. I say this somewhere else in my notes, but David tells me that it's hard work to eat, to talk, to walk. I mean, he's balanced challenge, so it's every step is he's worrying about falling, so he has to be very careful about walking. But, I mean, to eat, come on, folks. Everybody eats all the time, every day. But for David, he has to think about every bite he takes.
When I am down and out because I've done too much, I don't eat because I can't either. And when I get to that point, I feel nauseous. I've felt nauseous for 3 days before because I've overdone it.
Yeah.
And I try, honestly,
really weird.
To save... I try to save some of my energy in the afternoon, like get my rest in the afternoon, because then my husband comes home for work and I want to make dinner. I start that before he gets home, and then we spend time together in the evening and do the dishes. And I feel like there's 2 days in one day. The morning where I do the stuff I need to do, and then I'll like have to rest in the afternoon to start again for the evening.
And that's not normal. That isn't what people really do, and that's what people don't understand. I want to
he never gets
to a
upset
topic.
Though
really that is
well
cool.
I'm
that's...
yes okay so he doesn't get upset when I'm laying on the couch and I'm just waking up from a nap when he gets home, and I feel bad because he's worked hard all day. And then there's Veronica and I lounging around. But I swear, he thought he was going to lose both of us in the same day, and I don't think that's ever very far from his mind. But besides the fact that he has PTSD, he is so understanding, because I can call him at work and say, I just feel really weird today, like I'm dizzy, I'm not feeling that well. And he won't say, you have 10 things on your list, how are you going to get them done? He says, you need to go rest now. He's like, everything else can wait. He never puts pressure on me. I'm so fortunate.
He's a keeper.
He's a keeper.
I have one of those too, John. He's a keeper. David is like that.
Thank you, Lord.
If I get overwhelmed with things, you know, just in life, he will just like, don't worry. It'll get done tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Don't worry, you know. Unfortunately, I do worry, but it's nice to be able to know that somebody is there beside you, holding you up too. Because, I mean, I'm
yes.
a caregiver, but I need to be held up too sometimes, you know? So,
absolutely.
It's a good partnership when that happens, you know? And fortunately, for us, that's a good thing because it doesn't always happen. It doesn't always happen. So, you know,
I don't know what I would do.
I talk to a lot of people
on support groups that they don't have that kind of support. And I feel really bad for them.
Sure.
I can't help them, but I feel terrible when I hear it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. There are a lot of people in those shoes. There are a lot of shoes like that people don't feel understood, or they don't feel they don't have the support from their family or friends, and it's sad. I mean, that's another topic that I've talked about many times on the radio is losing friends. You know, losing your friends after a brain injury because they don't get it. They don't understand why you can no longer go out and party with them or go to the movies like you used to all the time. They don't understand that, and so they move on. It's the friends that
we lost double friends.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we lost double friends because both of us have brain injuries, and Veronica became very sexual speaking, and I would jump on the bandwagon. Things just got so different afterwards. We spent 10 really lonely years, and we would just sit on the couch and pray and hold hands. Please, God, bring friends into our lives. And you know what? We now have such a beautiful bunch of friends. They're actually all one family. Veronica's friends are their kids, and we, you know, Greg and I are friends with the lady and the man, and we're very fortunate. But 10 years was really lonely. And that's a long time. I never want to tell people on support groups, it'll get better after 10 years. You can't say that to people.
No, you can't. You know, even if you said it'll get better after 5 months or 6 months, David's neurologist told me that. And I thought, oh, my God, that's a lifetime. Now, six months is a drop in the 18-year bucket.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. Don, I want to move on a little bit because we're never going to finish this show. I prepared here that we may continue on in the new year, but let's go on to commiseration. Commiseration is rarely welcome. So as friends or family members, we want to make our survivors feel better. You know, we don't want them to feel bad about their shortcomings, the shortcoming of don't repeat yourself. You know, why are you repeating yourself all the time or whatever? We don't want people to feel bad about themselves. But, you know, how do we help them? And do they help when they say those kinds of things to you that I'm going to be telling you some things that people say? Or do they make the survivor feel worse? So I'm going to go back to Sue again. And she said she doesn't appreciate when folks say, and I'm going to go exact quote here, I know exactly what you mean. I get headaches and have memory problems too. How many people say that? Oh, my gosh. Lisa said that when she is at work, people tell her that her hands are shaking because she's nervous. Lisa tries to tell them that it's her brain injury, but they keep telling her she's just nervous and she'll get over it. Lisa knows what her body is doing, folks. It's not that she's nervous. She's not feeling those nerves there. But her body is not uncontrollable movement. David has it, too. It's ataxia. And he cannot control his hand. It's not because he's nervous. Christy's big beef is when folks tell her, and this is a quote, everyone does that. Or, that happens to me all the time. Or, I do that too, etc. When she's trying to explain how she forgets things or when she attempts to describe the effects of her TBI. And she thinks, and this is a quote, yes, you may forget once in a while. You know, and everybody does. Everybody forgets their keys or whatever. You know, but not 20 or 30 times a day. And that's what's happening with Christy. And then she laughs. Anyhow, Jill said she hates when her family said, "Oh, that doctor's wrong. You're going to be fine." That was a quote. If that's all it took was for someone with no medical degree to declare that you would be healed, wouldn't that be a wonderful life? You know, her parents, her family doesn't know. That's wishful thinking for them. And I know they're doing that to make her feel better. They're trying to make her reassured that she's okay. But wishing is never going to work. So think about it. And imagine your frustration if 10 to 20 to 30 times a day you lose your train of thought. You enter into a room and you don't know remember why you're there. Or you put the kettle on and half an hour later you're surprised by the smell of smoke. You said that's the problem with you there. Or you're reading a recipe and you can't remember what to add next. Or I could go on and on and on, okay, with examples. But, yes, we do. We all forget at times. We forget when we dropped our car keys. Boy, I hate when I do that. Once I forgot a dental appointment. But I don't forget it all the time, you know. I forget occasionally. For me, that's what happens. And that's what happens with most people. They forget occasionally. And that's different. So I can't put myself in the same category with someone who was dealing with these issues every day, even though I want to help them and say, "Oh, yeah, I forget to," you know, or, "Yeah, you know, I forget to turn off the stove." I don't do it every day. I have done it, yes. Eggs have burnt in my boiling water. There's no question. But it isn't something that I have to worry about. It's not something that's going to happen all the time for me. So when someone says, "Oh, I know what you mean, migraines too," like Sue said, you know without a doubt that they don't understand what you're going through. And furthermore, you know without a doubt that they do not know that their seemingly kind words are not helpful. So how can we, Dawn, as survivors or caregivers, enlighten folks so that they do understand what folks with brain injury are experiencing?
I feel like what I wrote in my book is I feel like when they do that, it's like belittling what we're going through.
But right.
Now I just don't even say anything. I don't say anything anymore.
Uh-huh.
That's how I deal with it. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but it's been a long time, and they are trying to say something help. But then at the same time, by not saying anything, I'm not teaching them, please don't do that if you come along another brain-injured person, because that's not helpful.
But helpful why? You have to tell them why, because it does seem like they're being diminished, that they're not being taken seriously. And you know that. You feel that. But they don't understand that. They think that they're helping you. They're trying to reassure you. You know, when Sue says, you know, I forget things too. You know, they're trying to make you not feel so bad about yourself when you tell them that. I understand that because I do that too. I understand, but I now realize that that isn't helpful. It isn't helpful to the survivor to hear those kinds of things because it's not at the same level. As Christy said, well, of course everybody does it too, but do they do it 20 or 30 times a day? You know, that's
right.
When it becomes
You're
problematic.
Right. That's a wonderful way to put it. She hit the nail on the head.
I think she did. And so she thinks, and I'm quoting her again, yes, you may forget once in a while, but not 20 to 30 times a day. And that's one way you might want to be able to explain what's happening with you so that you still are the teacher in this field, because I don't want to lose you as the teacher by not saying anything, because you have so much knowledge about this. And I know it's 15 years for you, and it's old stuff, and it's not changing anything, but you might be able to change one person's mind And they might not say that kind of stuff to you again, or they might not say to somebody else that would be offended by it because they are ignorant. And I don't mean ignorant in a bad way.
I'm
going
to try really
ignorant.
Hard to remember that. Because
I
that
think it's important
to tell other people that don't understand, that is helpful.
Mm-hmm. That is. So that they can, you know, so those are just little tips that people can think about and follow through on. And now, Dawn, do you know
I
that
like
we only
that.
Did four of my questions, and I have, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I have things that I wanted to, I always overplan. 15 things I wanted to discuss with you because I think they're important. But I think we talked so, you know, so about so many things already, and I'm looking at the clock, and I know there's another show coming up. So we're going to have to wind down, and I have to do my closing statements. So I'm going to have to ask you right now and go right into that last thing of do you have any magic advice that you would like to share with our listeners before we have to sign off? That some things that you wanted to say. Did you get them in? Were you able to wend them into our conversation, some of the things that you were talking about earlier that you thought were important? This is your time.
Well, one thing I think is really important for other people to know, we've had when we talk about things that Veronica is unable to do, like work and drive, and people have said to us, well, have you ever tried this? Have you ever tried that? I don't like to get suggestions like that from people that have never lived it because they don't understand that Veronica mixes up the gas and the brake, or she can't volunteer because she will flirt with people, and this has happened. I mean, people have said, let her try, and we've let her try many times, which usually they don't know about that. And then they make suggestions like, we've never thought about it. We think about it all the time.
Of course you do, because this is the predominant thing in your life. There isn't a day, probably, you know, an hour that goes by that I'm not aware of brain injury in some form. You know, because it is our life. It is what it is.
And
it's the way our life runs now. And
people
and
have
not
said, you know, it's been so many years. Can't you not talk about it? And I'm like, do you realize that our deficits will never go away and we feel them every minute of every day? How do you let that go? If anybody could ever tell me how, I would be interested to know.
I know. And that's another topic I had here that I wanted to go after because that's another very important topic that people don't understand that you don't get over it. It's a lifetime thing. And so, you're not going to just say, you know, I'm better. I'm not thinking about this. You had a broken leg 10 years ago. Somebody did out there. I know somebody out there now. I mean, it's had a broken leg 10 years ago. Yeah, you're probably not going to talk about that every day because it's long. It's history, and it's not affecting you anymore. But a brain injury is affecting you every single day in some form or another, and in many times, many forms than just one.
Yes.
So, yeah, I totally get that. So, so I'm going to have to say thank you to that and go into my outro here and tell people a little bit about what's coming up in our next session of Another Fork in the Road. And I always have to pull
thank
up my calendar
for that. Thank you
for
having me, Donna. I really appreciate you having me.
Have you. I'm so glad that you were on. And you're welcome back anytime. And if you want to come back to finish this session, we can make another schedule. So
I would love to.
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
So I just want to thank Dawn Corbelli for joining me this evening. And we learned so much from your discussion, Dawn. You brought in so many good points. And you can always learn more about Dawn on my website at survivingtraumaticbraininjury.com. Just put her name in the search box, Corbelli, or if you want to, just do Dawn, D-A-W-N, and she'll pop up with a lot of different things that she's been involved in on the website. Her survivors interview, as well as many shows that she has been a participant on Another Fork in the Road. Once you're at my blog, check out the other interviews of survivors and caregivers, brain injury survivors and caregivers. And again, there are so many people there. I don't know how many are on there now that will reinforce some of the things that you're going through as a person out there that might have a brain injury, and maybe it'll help you to understand a little bit more about what you're going through. There is a category for brain injury resources. There's one there for shouting out accomplishments, big and small. I call it itty bitty giant steps, because there is one there I love. A person learned to tie her shoes after many years of brain injury. She was able to tie her shoe for the first time, and she shouted it out on Facebook. And I was like, oh, my God, that is so incredible. I'm so excited for you. Mm-hmm. And I posted, and she was like, yes. So, again, we talked about giving people a platform to let their stories out. And survivingtraumaticbraininjury.com is a huge platform just for that. In fact, I have to tell you, it's won the award for amazing blogs or whatever it is. I don't remember what award it was, but it came in number 7.
Congratulations.
Of 35 blogs this year. So I'm really excited about that. And it's won awards several years prior. I think I have one of the awards up on the blog, but it's won several times. So, yeah. It's got a lot of good information on it. So if you have an accomplishment, send it to me. Remember I said earlier, if there's anything you want to talk about here on brain injury, Donna O'Donnell Figursky at gmail.com. Google me. You'll find more than you ever wanted to know. You can read about my book, Prisoners Without Bars, A Caregiver's Tale. But I don't even think I said anything about that today. But, yeah, my book is out there, Prisoners Without Bars, A Caregiver's Tale. And like Dawn's book, and I have to go back to get that title real fast. Oops, I moved it up. Tell me the title, Dawn, so I don't have to run back.
A Miracle a Day, One Day at a Time, Hope After Traumatic Brain Injury. And I have a website,
right,
too, where I write a
Please
blog
tell.
Every Friday about our lives having brain
uh-huh.
injuries or from the view of a caregiver. It's always true. It's always raw. And it's under dawncorbelli.com.
Perfect. Thank you. I want to add that to my intro for next time. Okay, and so yeah, so check out my book. You can find it on Amazon as an a print book. You can find it as an ebook on Kindle. You can also find it as an audiobook if you need to listen to it. So you can find it at a lot of different places. Go check it out at Amazon. Check your local libraries. Ask for them. Ask for those books if they're not there. So, and next, please tune in next Sunday to hear host Lisa Dreyer on Mess with MS. And as the clock is ticking down, I have some hosts coming in from the Moving Forward podcast, Stories of Triumph, with Coach KJ and Dr. Valentina. And that will start at 7 p.m. Pacific time. In 2 weeks, it will be panel time again. Hey, so today was really a guest day, so this was perfect. Okay, I thought it was a panel day. I got all mixed up. Hang on, I want to find my calendar so I can tell you what to expect on September 3rd is a panel day. Living with Exhaustion After Brain Injury. Dawn, we just talked about that in this show tonight,
yes.
too, how after you do things, you've got to take a day off or two. So Living with Exhaustion mm-hmm. After Brain Injury. So, yeah, tune in. That will be a panel. I've got a couple people coming in for that to talk about that, and we'd love to have you all come back. So, Dawn, thank you so, so very much for joining me today. And
thank you.
So hope to see you again very soon in the near future. Good night,
thank
everybody.
You.
Have a great couple weeks when we're not here. Bye-bye.